I really love my wife because yesterday I went to Walmart not once but twice for her. So if that doesn't prove a man's love for his wife, that he would go to his wife not once but twice to Walmart during December, I really don't know what more a man can do to prove his love for his wife than going to Walmart twice in December. Two different cities, Petaluma and Hattiesburg. Yeah, that's love. That's love. But, you know, as we think about this time of year, we think about all that goes into Christmas. And how we all want a good Christmas, don't we? You know, we want our kids to have a good Christmas. And I think sometimes in this season, we can get flipped around what matters. And right now, you're thinking about something in your mind that you need to do as soon as we get out of church. And there's something on your plate right now that you're thinking about that you need to do as soon as we get a chance to do it. Something that's important. Something that's necessary. And I was thinking about necessity yesterday when I saw a certain picture on the internet, which I share with you. Our version of necessity matters, doesn't it? We've got it pretty good, don't we? No matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, we live the charmed existence. No matter how bad your problems may be, no matter how rightfully challenged this moment in your life may be for you. Yeah, and I'm not trying to paper over your problems. We've all got problems right now, so please don't hear this as an attempt to say, oh, your problems don't matter. Yeah, your problems do matter. If you hurt, that matters. Well, what I am saying is sometimes if we aren't careful, we can lose perspective of what really is important. So in this Christmas season, define necessity. Redefine what really matters. I was thinking about this week as I was reflecting upon my life. And, you know, I've lived a charmed existence. I really have. Outside of the whole Ole Miss thing, I've had a pretty good run. By the way, I've told Men's Club this morning, I've already got my tickets for next year's Sugar Bowl when Hugh Freeze leads us to the Sugar Bowl in 2013. I've already got somebody lined up to preach for me that Sunday, so just saying. And somebody in this church, who I won't mention, Randy Smith, has already promised to wear red and blue when that happens. So I'm, you know, and I've got a witness holding to that too. But I've been very fortunate. God's been very good to me. And I don't want to go into a whole long story about my life, but some of you have heard, know my story, some of you don't. So I just want to briefly share a little bit about my charmed existence. I'm very fortunate that I married very, very much above myself. I'm married so far above myself, and I have a beautiful and lovely family that I just treasure. My wife and my kids. God's been very good to me in that. I've as most men do, I'm married above myself, and so I'm very thankful for that. I was raised. I've been able to do some great things in my life. I've been able to preach in some great churches. I've been able to go on mission trips to other parts of the world. I've been able to shoot a cannon. I mean, really, that's off the bucket list now. I got to fire a cannon. I mean, it just doesn't get much better than that right there. I've been very fortunate in my life. I was raised by my grandparents. Most of you know that, some of you don't. That's my picture of my mom and daddy. My mom is 82. Daddy's 72. She robbed the cradle. Just like Holly robbed the cradle with me. So I'm 5 months younger than her, so technically I'd have been in a cradle, technically. I was raised with my grandparents. They adopted me when I was 2 years old. My biological mother, for those of you that some of you do know, some of you don't know, my biological mother, I call Mama Sarah. That's where my little girl Sarah gets her name from. She was a teacher in the special ed department of Macomb Public Schools. She taught there. She went to Southern Miss. See, that should make y'all happy. She got her undergrad from Southern Miss. That should give you all a lot of pride there. I guess I've got a lot of Southern Miss street cred because of that. But my biological father was an alcoholic and a drug addict. They was not a fun life to live in for my mother. When I was, right before I turned two, in 78. My Mama Sarah told my biological father, if you come home again drunk, I'm leaving with a baby. And he did. So she picked me up to leave, to walk out of the house with me, and he shot and he killed her. That's the obituary. Somebody said, there are two folks killed? Yeah, there's not a lot of death in Pike County. So, we got very rare for Pike County to have two people killed in the same weekend. But, I used to keep that little story in my Bible every day to kind of look at and remind myself that I shouldn't be here. So she was shot and killed, and I was then raised by her parents, her mother, my stepmother, my grandmother, and my maternal step-grandfather. I am not a Stoddard by blood. I was adopted by my daddy, Connie Stoddard, but I'm not biologically related to him. In our lives, we have mountains. Every one of us has a mountain. In my life, the mountain I've had to deal with has been a lot of unforgiveness. I've had to learn to forgive. That's why in my life I'm quick to come with an apology. If I've ever offended you or harmed you, I'm sorry. I'm not one that tries to let my pride get in the way of offering apologies, because I know how hard it is to forgive. I've seen it in my own family. I've seen how unforgiveness has destroyed lives. I've seen how unforgiveness has driven people. Because here's the thing with pain. Pain, you're going to numb the pain. If you're hurting, if you're hurt, you're going to numb that pain somehow. Some people do it with drugs and alcohol. Some people do it with work. Some people do it with whatever. But you're going to numb the pain you feel in your life somehow. So my life, in many ways, my mountain has been unforgiveness. I've had to struggle with that my entire life. My mountain has been negativity. Y'all would never know it because I don't project it well. I try to be positive, but I'm a pretty negative person. Amen? I am. I fully expect to be destitute and homeless one day. That thing you love so much can be taken from you like that. Is that good, Jeff? Am I snapping loud enough? Okay, I'm trying to get it close. That happened to me too. I learned early on that just because, bad stuff's going to happen. I wish, y'all, as your pastor, I love you. I would do anything in my power to keep you from hurting. But I can't. Bad stuff's going to happen. Tragedy is going to happen. Trials are going to happen. Bad things it just is. And I hate it at my core of my being. I hate the pain we must endure sometimes. But we live in a broken world with broken people where bad things happen. So I've had to work in one of my mountains has been negativity, expecting the worst to always happen. I've had a lot of mountains in my life I've had to climb, just like you have. You've had mountains. For some of you right now, the mountain you may be trying to climb may be something like depression. This season can make us depressed. For some of you, the mountain you may be climbing may be unforgiveness. It may be the mountain you may be climbing. You may have been hurt by church at some point, so you're trying to climb that mountain. Maybe the mountain you're trying to climb is doubt. Maybe the mountain you're trying to climb is anger. But in your life, there's a mountain that you're looking at right now, and you're saying, God, I can't climb it. God, that mountain's like Mount Everest, and I can't climb it, God. I can't climb. It's too big. It's too wide. It's too much. And I can't climb that mountain, God. That mountain is too much for my strength. That mountain is too much for me. And I cannot do it, God. I cannot climb that mountain. We've all got mountains in our life. How do you deal with your mountain? How do you deal with the mountain in your life right now? I was 16 years old at Camp Wesley Pines in beautiful Gallman, Mississippi. If you've never been to Gallman, you haven't missed anything. They have a Stuckey's and a camp. That's about all they got in Gallman. I was 16 working as a counselor in training at Camp Wesley Pines, the camp over there. And I thought it must have been the the chicken nuggets we'd eaten, but I had something inside of me at camp. I just felt something in my heart saying, Andy, I've got something for you. I went to Brother Curtis Lloyd, who was the preacher there. Some of y'all may have known Brother Curtis. He's an old Methodist preacher. Had preached for many, all over South Mississippi. I went to Brother Curtis as a kid and said, Brother Curtis, here's something God's calling me to. I don't know what it is, but God's calling me to something, Brother Curtis. I can't explain it. I don't know what it is. But I know that I'm being called to something. I just know it, Brother Curtis. I know it. Brother Curtis said, son, I think God's calling you to be a preacher. I said, oh, no, 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 no. That's just heartburn. That's just heartburn. That's not, no. No, that's not that, Brother Curtis. I promise you that's not it. Because like Jeff said, I had a plan for my life, too. I had my life planned out what I was going to do. So I just knew what I was going to do. I had my life planned out. And it wasn't just that. I had a mountain. I had a mountain I was working through. Saw a lot of hypocrisy in the church growing up. I thought, I don't want to hang out with those folks. Saw a lot of unforgiveness in the church I grew up in. Saw a lot of hurt feelings in the church I grew up in. I thought, God, I don't want to work with church folks the rest of my life. And then I had the mountain in my own heart of my own unforgiveness where I was thinking, God, how can I love folks when I'm not sure I love other people? God, how can I be a preacher when I know the own junk in my life that I'm dealing with? God, there's no way I can do this. That's crazy talk, God. There's no way I can possibly do this. There's no way, God, you can use me with this mountain in my life. There's no way you can use me with the stuff that I know is deep down inside of here, God. There's no way with this mountain in my own soul you can possibly ever. I doubt you can ever love me, but I know there's no way you can ever use me. I'll just be happy if you'll love me one day, because I was such a mess up. I said, I'll just be happy if I can somehow get your love one day. But you using me, that's impossible. There's no way. I had this mountain in my life that I didn't think I could ever climb. And that was going to keep me from being used by God. In your life, you've got a mountain right now. As sure as I'm sitting here, there's something God's calling you to. Every person on the side of my voice, there's something God's calling you to. Maybe it's to teach, maybe it's to lead, maybe it's to give your heart to Christ. I don't know what it is. But as sure as I'm sitting here, every person in here, God's calling you to something. But in your life, you've got a mountain. You've got a mountain that you're thinking, God, there's no way. There's no way because of this mountain I can never do it. Let me tell you what I've learned about mountains, y'all. There's a reason why that mountain's in your life. Because God is going to use that mountain for you to climb. And for you to go and tell it on that mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That mountain is put there for you to be a sign of victory. That through his strength and through his grace, he will use that mountain for you to climb on top of and proclaim his goodness and his mercy. And that thing right now that in your life that you think is causing you defeat, God's going to use that mountain. There's no mountain in your life that is too big for God not to use. So one day, that mountain that you're looking at right now, you're thinking, God, there's no way you'll ever use me because of that mountain. That mountain's too big. That mountain's too strong. That mountain's too wide. There's no way because of that mountain that you'll ever use me, that you'll ever love me, that I'll ever be anything more than a failure. I'm telling you, friends, if you give it to God, he's going to use that mountain. And you're going to climb that mountain. And you're going to get on top of that mountain and you're going to go and tell it. You're going to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. That mountain is there for a reason. For God to use. For his glory. One day, you're going to go and you're going to tell it. From that mountain. From that place of defeat, from that time of trial, from that time of doubt, from that time of darkness, from that time of hurt, from that time of unforgiveness, from that time of whatever in your heart you're dealing with right now, God's going to use that mountain for his glory. and for your good. Because that's what God does. He's going to use that mountain. And you are going to go and tell it from that mountain. That's what God does. In the scripture, there was a man by the name of Abram. If you have your Bibles with me, you can turn with me real quick to Genesis. Genesis 12. Where it says this, "Now the Lord God said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make for you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God had a plan for Abram, who would later become Abraham. God had something for him where it says all the families of the world will be blessed through him and through his life and through his faithfulness. And if we look at the life of Abraham, one thing we're not going to dig into today, but if you look at Abraham's life, all throughout his life, he failed. All throughout Abraham's life, he messed up. All throughout Abram's life, he went down in flames. There were very few times when Abram did what was right. He did what was right here. He did what was right whenever God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac. But that was about it. The rest of his life was mistake after mistake after mistake where he hung on to God's grace. God needs your mountain. Because your mountain is a testament to his grace. Your mountain is a testament to his power. Your mountain is a testament to his redemption. Y'all, I love the church dearly. Not just Asbury, but I love the church. Because it's the body of Christ. It is. It's his body. And as the Bible says, the gates of hell will not triumph against it. So the church, when the church bends its knee to Jesus Christ, it is the most powerful institution for changing the world in the entire world. In the church, people meet Jesus Christ. And there's no more powerful gift that we, the church, offer the world than the power to meet Jesus Christ and come to saving faith through him. But you know what else the church is? It's made of people. You know what people are good at? Messing up. So if you expect the church to be perfect, I'm sorry, we're not going to be. We're going to try. We're going to do our best I can, but I'm asking this of you. Understand that the person next to you has a mountain. Just like you do. If the person next to you has a mountain that gets in the way sometimes, that's okay. Give them grace. Because don't you want grace for the times when your mountain gets in your way? God needs our mountains. Because our mountains remind us of our weakness. Our mountains remind us of our frailty. Our mountains remind us that we can't do it by ourselves, that we are not strong enough or good enough or whatever. But our mountains make us cling ever so tightly to God's grace and God's love and God's power in us. God uses these mountains in our life for his redemptive power. He's giving you this mountain in your life for you to climb. And you know you're going to start climbing that mountain. And one day you're going to say, today's the day. Today is the day I forgive. Today's the day I forgive. And you start climbing. And then you see that person. You just want to go pinch them because they need to be pinched. Because, you know, some folks just need a plug taken out of them. That's what my mom always said about me. And you start climbing to the mountain. And you get, maybe this is the day you get halfway up it. Maybe you're going to forgive this day. Or maybe you're going to be faithful. Or maybe you're going to do whatever. Maybe you're going to move past it. And you get up it. And then you slip and you fall back into an old trap. And you fall back down the mountain. And you think, God, I'm never going to climb it. I'm never going to get there. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And God's going to use that mountain, y'all. God's going to use that mountain as a sign of victory. God's going to use that mountain as a sign of power. God is going to use that thing in your life that you think that is beyond his redemption for your good and for his glory. If you will let him. God's going to allow you to use that mountain for his glory. You're going to climb that mountain, and you're going to proclaim that he is Lord. You're going to climb that mountain, and you're going to say, God is good. You're going to climb that mountain and say, God is Savior. You're going to climb that mountain and say, look what he's done in my life. You're going to climb that mountain and find his hope and proclaim that hope to a world in need. You're going to climb that mountain in your life because God is good. And he is all-powerful, and he is all-sufficient. And I want to say to y'all, let's wake up and say amen. I'm dying for an amen right now, y'all. You know, saying amen to a preacher is like saying stick it to a dog. We love it. I had a preacher growing up named Brother Stanley Landrum. Love Brother Stan. Brother Stan had something talking about being a witness. He loved to talk about being a witness. How every day of our life we are supposed to be a witness. And I believe God's given us that mountain for us to be a witness. But Brother Stan used to always talk about being a witness. He always says this. You cannot give witness to that you do not know. You cannot give witness to that which you do not know. God has a plan for you to go. God has a, y'all, there's things you can do that I can't do. There's things that God wants to do in this church through your life. There's things that God wants to do in our community through your life. God has great things for our church, y'all. I'm serious. It's been a weird week for me where I've been thinking and praying and getting a vision, God, for what God wants to do here. And y'all, when I start dreaming about what God wants to do at Asbury, it just gets me so excited because I'm telling you, y'all, what we got here in this place, this world needs. This world needs what we have here, this hope in Jesus Christ. And I think there's going to come a time in our church when these walls can't contain everything we're doing. When we're going to be doing so much and being so faithful that God's going to do such amazing things. And people are going to, you know, like the old movie, if you build it, they will come. Well, I'm not saying we're going to build it. I'm saying we're going to do it. And if we do it and we glorify him and we lift his name up and we point to him, if we climb on that mountain in our life and say, follow my Jesus, they will come. Or we're going to go to them. And we're not going to make them come to us. We're going to go to them. So when I think about all the things that God's going to do here at Asbury, I get so excited because I just know what we have here, the grace, the mercy, the peace, the acceptance, the salvation that God wants to use our church for. It's going to just be amazing. I get so excited thinking about it. But we need you. We need you. And that means that mountain you're looking at, you got to climb it. Day by day, step by step, inch by inch, rock by rock, centimeter by centimeter, you got to climb that mountain. You can't go. You can't give witness. You can't go unless you know. Not knowing your own strength, but knowing his strength. Because you know what, that mountain you're looking at, you can't climb it by yourself. I've tried. I've fallen down and gotten bloody. You can't climb that mountain by yourself. But through his strength and through his might, you can climb it. And God's going to use that mountain as a testament to his power and to his glory and to his strength. That mountain that's terrifying you, that's scaring you, that's looking at you in the face, God's going to use that mountain. Y'all, I'm not joking. God's going to use that mountain. But you got to give it to him. You can't go until you know. You can't go until you know. You cannot give witness to that which you do not know. God has used these mountains in my life, and he's still using them. He's still using every mountain in my life for his glory. He's still using every mountain in my life for some purpose in my life that I don't fully understand. He's using it. Will you let him use your mountain? Or will you look at it and say, ah, God, there's no way. You know, yeah, you can use somebody else's mountain, but you can't use mine. That's too big, God. You can't do anything with that. The Bible says, if we have the faith of a molehill, we can tell that mountain, go jump in the sea. We can say that mountain, go jump in the sea, because our God is bigger. No matter what mountain you're facing, no matter what battle you're fighting, no matter what struggle you're having, no matter what's going on, God is bigger. God's power is stronger, God's power is mighty, and God's grace is all sufficient. God's going to use that mountain. But you got to give it. You can't go until you know. Today, will you give God that mountain? Today, will you let God use that mountain for his glory? Today, will you let God use that mountain for your good? Go and tell it on the mountain. Will you let God do that in your life? Go tell it on the mountain. Let us pray.